Blog Talk Radio.
TJB Radio.
Okay, that's working very well. Welcome to the Jeff Bushman Experience. I'm Jeff Bushman, and here's our theme. Okay, it's tacky, but what the heck. Anyway, welcome to the show. This is the Jeff Bushman Experience. Thank you for joining us. If you're joining us live, it's February 15th at 6:30 in the East, 3:30 in the West, and various times in between. That time zone description, of course, is just in the United States. If you're outside the United States, I have no idea what time it is. Although, let's see, if it's 4:30 in Arizona, it's about 11:30 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And if you're not mean, it can be any time in Greenwich, I suppose. Welcome again to the show. Apologies for the residue of my voice problems that still remain from the flu, which I'm over. Today we're going to discuss what you can do in your community to make a positive difference, assuming you agree with me politically. And we're also going to be talking about the death of the announcer on Laugh-In, Ronan Martin's Laugh-In, which was on in the late 60s and early 70s, that announcer being Gary Owens. He died this week. And we're going to play a clip from his old radio show, and we'll explain that ahead of time. So, again, thank you. That's what's ahead. Please stay with us. If you'd like to call in during the show, we're at 347 area code 850-8702. And if you're, of course, listening to us in podcast version, you can't call in during the show, but you're welcome to join us live next week or any week on Sundays at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay. Before we get going with the general stuff we're going to talk about, I wanted to remind you and request of you that you go to bushmanbooks.blogspot.com. That's the site where we occasionally put stuff up, including trivia questions. We haven't done that for a while, but will ultimately. It's been a very busy couple of weeks for us in a positive way, completely unrelated to radio, but it has been very busy, so we haven't really had a lot of time to put stuff up at bushmanbooks.blogspot.com or at medium.com, where some of our other writing appears. But from bushmanbooks.blogspot.com, if you'd like to see samples of our writing, you can do that by going to the Amazon site where our books appear. You can also find our writing in Scottsdale Health Magazine if you're local. And if you're not local, you can go to their website, which is allyouneedforhappiness.com. Don't ask me why they chose that. I suppose probably Scottsdale Health was chosen by a doctor or something. But in any event, allyouneedforhappiness.com. Okay, let's admit it. That sounds like a porn site, okay? But it really isn't. And you can go there and see our writing. We tend to be toward the back of the magazine each month because they know where we belong. If you do go to bushmanbooks.blogspot.com, when you are thinking of shopping for something at Amazon, and why wouldn't you, you can click on that banner there, and if you should end up buying something, we get a couple of shekels from them. If you don't, obviously we don't. And also if you buy something there, it doesn't cost you any more than it would have cost you if you hadn't gone through that site. Anyway, that's about it. First, let me talk briefly what the headline is about what you can do in your own community. It involves something anyone can do, pretty much, in any county in the United States. If you believe, as we do, that it's important to have Democrats, progressive Democrats ideally, but Democrats in Congress, the House and the Senate, the way it's determined who wins in those offices is obviously not how many registered voters there are, but who votes. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is congressional districts, as well as your districts for whatever your equivalent is of your state Senate, state House of Representatives, or state assembly in some states, the districts for those two bodies in your state, plus the House of Representatives, is determined by two things. One is the census, that they do every 10 years. And the second thing is, following that census, how the districts are apportioned. In some states, that's now done by a commission that is generally nonpartisan, but in most states, it's done by the legislature. And it's possible, because of a lawsuit that's now before the U.S. Supreme Court, it may go back to the legislatures in those states where a commission does it. But irrespective of that, you can have a dramatic effect, a real effect, in your state by registering voters of like mind. Now, this would apply generally whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, but I'm hoping and assuming that most of the people who listen to our show, that would be 1.5 people, are Democrats, and or at least tend to vote Democratic when they vote. If that's you, county recorder or your county registrar of voters, and find out what it takes to become a registrar. They usually call it a deputy or assistant registrar. It usually doesn't cost anything, and it's a pretty simple process. And then once you do that, you can either just register people you know who feel as you and I do, but who are not registered, or you can go into neighborhoods where they would tend to vote Democratic if they vote. And one of the other things you can do is you can keep track of those people, and when it comes time for election, you can call them and try and get them to the polls. But if you have enough people voting for your state legislatures, then those people, if they in fact elect Democrats, those are the people who will apportion after 2020, and that will affect who gets elected to the House and the Senate and what happens. I'll come back to that with more explanation after we talk about Gary Owens. So stay tuned for that. Gary Owens is a name that some people, because of age or lack of knowledge, will not know, and it's not like he was a major historical figure. And I normally don't talk that much about celebrity deaths because we don't know these people. They don't have any real impact on our lives. But and certainly Gary Owens, as an example, or Casey Kasem and Don Pardo, both of whom died at the end of last year, none of those folks have had a major impact in terms of passing legislation or changing the world in terms of its climate or anything like that. But they, all being media people, have had some effect on all of us. Gary Owens, as I mentioned, was the announcer on Ronan Martin's Laugh-In, which was a show that gave rise to, among other people, Goldie Hawn. And I'm sure other people I'm not thinking of. That was only a role that he had for several years. But before that and after that, he was a guy who was on radio in Los Angeles, and some of his shows were syndicated around the nation. Very funny guy. At first, he had a show on KMPC in Los Angeles, the old KMPC, not the present one. And that was a show where he initially was a disc jockey, but did humorous stuff in between, and very humorous stuff. And sometimes he did shows which had no music on them, and it was just him and people he talked to and goofed off with. Very funny guy. And he also did he was also on that station when they had a whole team of disc jockeys and announcers that played when rock music was already very widespread. They were playing old middle of the road music, so-called. So they were playing people like Torme and Sinatra, unfortunately, Dean Martin, Peggy Lee, people like that, who we now consider really old hat, except for those of us who are fans. But they were playing music like that, even though it was already out of date. So that's what the music background was. But a lot of it was just funny stuff. Now I'm going to tell you something about the radio business that you may not know. If you are a, not internet radio business particularly, but regular commercial radio, very often the guys who appear on commercial radio, when they go into their studio, they go in, they, you know, clock in or whatever they do at the station, they go sit down about 5 minutes before the show starts, and then when the show starts, they start it. They don't necessarily read all the copy that has been left for them on the desk in the studio before the program starts. And what happens is when it's time for the commercial, when they get cued that they're supposed to read the next commercial in order, they just start it and do what amounts to a cold reading. And most of the time, that's just what happens. It's no big deal. Sometimes it's a commercial they've done before, and other times they just read it and it's fine. Around the Christmas season, the holiday season, a lot of sponsors on radio will go ahead and ask that a special Christmas message be read as their commercial. That happened in the case of Gary Owens. I'm going to, if it works, play a clip for you. It's 44 seconds. I'm going to play a clip for you from his old show, and you'll understand why thereafter, just about every Christmas season, they replayed this spot that Gary Owens really didn't quite make it through. So here it is, Gary Owens, pardon me, reading a Christmas commercial. Here it is.
Christmas means many things to many people. To some, Christmas means glittering lights, gaily wrapped gifts. That's right, sounds of laughter and good cheer. To the folks at Preparation H, it means a time to pause for a few moments to to give thanks to their friends who've been so generous. So from... from Preparation H to you and yours, a very Merry Christmas.
And there you have it. That was you know, I've probably played that thing half a dozen times now, and every time I play it, I start to laugh. I hope it came through clearly. I won't find out until we hear the recording of this. And if we have time at the end of the show, we'll play it one more time. You can probably go on the Internet and download that as an MP3 if you want to cheer yourself up every once in a while. So that was Gary Owens. I thought you would enjoy that clip. I know I do and did. Let me go back to what we were talking about in terms of making a positive difference. I gave you kind of the nuts and bolts. This is something you don't have to do full-time. You're not going to make any money doing it. I think some counties may pay something like a dime a voter that you register or something. It's, you know, piddly. But you're going to be making such a difference. If you can do it and talk your friends who agree with you into doing it, this would be a great thing for your state and the country, and it shouldn't take very long. This is all something you would do in your spare time. You would get with the county registrar of voters or the recorder, county recorder in your county. That's usually who one of those two offices or something similar will take care of that in your county. Call them. Say, I want to become a deputy registrar of voters. What do I have to do? There's no test involved. You go do it. They may do a criminal background check to make sure that you're without a history of doing stuff with small farm animals. But other than that, that's about it. And you sign up, and then you can register voters. You know, you can do it with your friends, you know, in terms of asking them if they're registered. You'd be surprised how many people that you know are not registered voters. But also, as I was saying, you know, you can set up some counties and states limit the period of time during which you can register voters. So whenever that is, you can set up a table in front of a store. Most stores are actually willing to let you do this. I mean, if they can do it for the dumbbell ringers at the holidays, they should certainly do it in the name of promoting democracy. But you want to do it in an area where the people who would be registering to vote are more likely to vote the way you want them to vote. Now, you can't control that very clearly. Again, assuming you're a Democrat, you'll have to register. The law is very clear. You cannot decline to register somebody who comes up to register to vote. So if that happens, that a Republican or someone who's in some other weirdo party, not that Republicans are, never mind. Anyway, but if somebody comes up to you from some weird party, you have to register them. Likewise with independents. But if you do, if you go into the right neighborhood, most of the people you register will be people who vote and think like you do. Just to give you an illustration, and for those of you who know Arizona, and I'll give you some examples in California as well. In Arizona, we are in Maricopa County. Maricopa County is extraordinarily conservative. Okay. But there are a couple of places where there may be some liberal pockets. So if I were to do this, I would be going into Scottsdale, for example, but not into Mesa, okay? I'd be going into, excuse me, an area near downtown Phoenix, okay? But I wouldn't go into Glendale. Okay, you get the idea if you know this area. Likewise, and I would also be comfortable going to Tucson. Tucson tends to be somewhat more liberal and open-minded than Phoenix does. In California, okay, I wouldn't go to San Diego, but I'd gladly go to San Francisco. And in L.A., it depends where you go, like everything else. But again, where you have people who are members of so-called minority groups, people of color, that will tend to be obviously a more beneficial place to go. You get the idea. Most of you have sufficient sophistication. I needn't explain it, and I'm probably boring you to death. That's the deal. You've got to register voters who are likely, when they vote, to vote the way you would wish. Again, you can't decline anybody's registration, but you can slant the effect by where you go. All right? So please, please, go ahead, find out what it takes, and when you can register voters, then get to it. And share this with anybody you know. You'll be doing a world of good for your country. I say that not in a jingoistic way, but in a way talking about what will make the country better. Okay? All right. Let's talk a little bit about this week in history. As soon as I find my – there it is. Have to find the notes. Today, we are doing the show live. Although, to some extent, I only feel half alive. No, but seriously, we're doing the show live on February the 15th. February the 15th, if you are in Canada or you are Canadian, is somewhat significant because Canada first flew the national flag that we're all familiar with, the one that has the red maple leaf, okay, the prominent red maple leaf. In what year on this date do you think that flag was first flown? Okay, it was February 15th. The maple leaf flag for Canada was first flown. Pardon me. What do you think was the year? We'll come back to that. Also on April 15th. God forbid. It's February 15th. Also on February 15th, in 1988, Richard Feynman died. Feynman was a winner of the Nobel Prize and was a nuclear physicist. And during the period that he was alive and after Einstein died, was really one of the most prominent and intelligent scientists the United States had. Seriously. He worked on the Manhattan Project. He died in 1988 on February 15th at the age of 69. They also made a movie about a segment of his life, which was called Infinity. If you ever get a chance to download that, you should. Oh, that reminds me. Why it would, I don't know, but there you are. The memory works in funny ways. If you are a member of Amazon Prime, and I'm not, this is not an ad for Amazon, although I would gladly shill for them or Google, but if you're a member of Amazon Prime, there is a new series that began. I haven't seen the first regular episode, but I saw the pilot, which is outstanding. It's called Bosch, B-O-S-C-H, and it is about, the protagonist is Harry Bosch from the novels by Michael Connelly, and Connelly is involved as an executive producer. If the pilot is anything like the subsequent shows, which I believe will now be on every week or two, this is something you've got to see. So if you're a member of Amazon Prime, take a look at it. Also, if you're not a member of Amazon Prime costs about $100 a year. And for that, anything you order from Amazon, you, well, not anything, but most of what you order from Amazon, you will get free delivery in 2 days. Okay? And now you can still do that, but you have to order a minimum dollar amount if you're not a member of Prime. No minimum dollar amount if you sign up for Prime and pay the money, of course. Like Netflix, they give a free 30-day trial, but there's all kinds of video material you can see, TV shows, movies, again, a lot like Netflix, but different, because obviously they have different people making selections. They also have an original series, which I have not seen, but it's called Transparent, and it's about a man who is in his late 60s, early 70s, who comes out to his children as transgender. And I would gladly tell you the name of the actor, but at the moment I can't remember it. But there's all kinds of series on there. If you have a chance, you should really watch Bosch. And now, if it's there, and I don't know that it is, you can also try to look for Infinity. Again, about Richard Feynman, starring Matthew Broderick, by the way, that movie about Richard Feynman. Quite a good film. Also on February 15th, in 1965, Natalie Cole's father, Nat King Cole, died in Santa Monica, California. He was most people know of him being a singer, but he was also quite a good jazz pianist. But he's pretty much stopped doing that after he started making records. Also on this date of some interest is the birthday of Galileo, or as he was more fully known, Galileo Galilei. He's the guy who basically was persecuted by the Catholic Church until they decided he was right. And he was then, I don't know if the word is pardoned, but he was persecuted and I believe he was excommunicated. And then he was later, bless them, forgiven. Also on this date, in 1820, if you look at some of the silver dollars you have in your pocket, you don't have any dollar coins in your pocket. Anyway, some of the dollar coins in your pocket, you may notice Susan B. Anthony. Today's her birthday. She was born in 1820. I promised to come back to the Canada question. Canada first flew its largely prominent maple leaf flag on this date in 1965. You would have thought it was much earlier. Right? But it is not. It was in 1965. There was a holiday on July 1st, which is now called Canada Day. Originally, it was called Dominion Day. And they began to call it Canada Day when they became completely independent. They'd been an independent country, but they'd been part of, they had still kept a relationship other than the Commonwealth relationship with the United Kingdom. They still considered Queen Elizabeth their queen and so forth. I have a joke there I'm not going to do. But anyway, but at some point, and I think it may have been in 1965, they became more fully independent, and apparently they would have had a new flag as well. So there you are. Also in terms of birthdays, on February 15th, 1905, was the birth of Harold Arlen. If you don't know that name, he wrote two fairly famous songs. He wrote more songs than that. He wrote a lot of songs. But among them was It's Only a Paper Moon. We mentioned Nat King Cole before. Interesting coincidence. Nat King Cole died on February 15th, which was the birthday of Harold Arlen. And Harold Arlen wrote It's Only a Paper Moon. Nat King Cole had a hit with it. Okay. And Harold Arlen was not his real name. I'll tell you that in a minute. He also wrote a song that was even more famous. It was sung by Judy Garland in the movie The Wizard of Oz. For a second, I couldn't remember the name of the movie. Talk about short-term memory gaps. In any event, the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow was also written by Harold Arlen. His real name was Chaim Arlok. H-Y-A-M is the way they spelled it. I expect that's a transliteration from the Yiddish or Russian. But Chaim Arlok was the real name of Harold Arlen, and no, I didn't know that before either. Okay? Historically, something really interesting. On February 15th, 1933, was actually, I have to go back a little bit, until I believe it was the third term, but it may have been the second term, of Franklin D. Roosevelt. We used to inaugurate our presidents not on January 20th, but on March 4th. Okay? So on February 15th, 1933, Roosevelt had been elected in November, but had not been inaugurated yet. He was still president-elect. The country was having some serious problems, as you know. At that time, it was called the Depression. So President-elect Roosevelt was in Miami, and he was there with the mayor of Chicago up on stage. The mayor of Chicago at that time, and many of you are ahead of me and already know the answer, was Cernak, Anton Cernak, who didn't exactly look like Roosevelt, but didn't look very different from Roosevelt. He also wore glasses. He was substantially huskier. But in any event, there was an attempt on that day in Miami to assassinate Roosevelt. As you know, they didn't succeed, but they did, the bullets that were intended for Roosevelt struck Cernak instead, and he died. That was on the assassination was on February 15th, 1933. Also on this date of some interest, the International Court of Justice held its first session in The Hague in the Netherlands. Now, as you know, the International Court of Justice is part of the United Nations. But in 1922, there was no United Nations. It started out actually as an organ, if you will, of the League of Nations, of which the United States was never a part. And even as the League of Nations was deteriorating, the International Court of Justice stuck around. And after the United Nations came into being, they became an organ of the United Nations. And there you are. Let's go back to yesterday. Belated Happy Valentine's Day to those of you who observed that. But historically, on February 14th, interesting stuff happened, and I have a very vague connection to an extremely I don't know what the word is. Can't say it was significant, but a well-known event that occurred on Valentine's Day. My connection is very tenuous. But on February 14th, 1929, in Chicago, was the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. What that involved, for those of you who don't know, is that members of the Al Capone gang went into the headquarters of the Bugs Moran gang, and they killed a bunch of Moran's people. That just prompted the feds to want to get Capone all the more. The Capone gang killed like seven or eight people. But my tenuous connection is that my grandfather and grandmother had a cleaning store just down the street from where the St. Valentine's Day Massacre took place. I saw that cleaning store years and years later. I know I sound old, but I wasn't alive in 1929. And yes, I know I don't sound old. I'm kidding. But that occurred in 1929 on February 14th. And we heard the story as kids, just that that my grandfather was aware of it. I don't know if there was any other connection, unless he had to clean the clothes that were bloodied by the shooting. the joke that we used to tell is that my grandfather was a CPA, cleaning, pressing, and alterations. It was not an original joke then, and is certainly not now, but that was that. Also on February 14th, in 1962, two events happened involving the Kennedys, which are somewhat interesting. First, it was the first televised tour of the White House that was hosted by then-First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy. On that same date, President Jack Kennedy issued the order that says that that U.S. troops could go ahead and fire back in Vietnam. That was the beginning of a very slippery slope and not a very good one. Before we leave, we've got a little over a minute left. I'm going to replay that Gary Owens clip, and then I'm going to give you our closing messages. So keep listening.
Christmas means many things to many people. To some, Christmas means glittering lights, gaily wrapped gifts. That's right, sounds of laughter and good cheer. To the folks at Preparation H, it means a time to pause for a few moments to to give thanks to their friends who've been so kind and generous. So from... from Preparation H to you and yours, a very Merry Christmas.
That was Gary Owens, and hope you've enjoyed the show in toto, not just that. And speaking of toto, we were talking about The Wizard of Oz. That's a whole other story. Anyway, you're going away in about 10 seconds, so thank you. Please join us next week, same time, same bat station. We know you're going away, but please don't go away mad. Be kind to each other, and good night.